multiple things. It's just kind of who we are. But we continue to be just really thankful to be here in Ottawa, to be worshiping with you, to be called here to this church. It's beginning to more and more to really just feel like home, and we're thankful for that. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. This is the parable of the Good Samaritan. It's a story that most of us are very familiar with, but we're hopefully going to be looking at it in a little bit different light this morning. So beginning in verse 25, "And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said to him, 'What is written in the law? How do you read it?' And he answered, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all of your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live.' But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' Jesus replied, 'A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him. And whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would open our minds and our hearts to learn fresh and new things from this familiar story this morning. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would continue to reveal to us what it looks like to be more like you, what it looks like to be a good neighbor to those around us. We pray these things in your Son's name. Amen. So as I was thinking about this sermon this morning, I came across just a meme. I think if you can read that, it says, when Steve Rogers, which is Captain America, goes back in time, he decides to make this local PBS show on how to make the world a better place. And so essentially, Captain America is Mr. Rogers. There's some, mistakes in there, but that's okay. And so we are in a 9-week sermon series called Intimate, Radical, Inexplicable, Ordinary. And this series is a series about hospitality. It's about being a good neighbor. It's about following Jesus, and it's about leading others into relationship with Jesus. And last week we talked about how we can begin to connect hospitality with mission, how this idea of connecting the mission with hospitality, how you can't separate the two. How when Jesus offered hospitality, it wasn't just about feeding people or clothing people or healing people, but really it was about advancing his kingdom. When I came and you all met me, and I preached on how we need to get out of our boats, get out of our comfort zones, and really move and work in places that aren't always comfortable for us. Well, this morning we're going to be diving into the question that this lawyer asked: "If who is my neighbor?" And so, as we step into this story, we see that Jesus had been teaching. It was customary to take a seated position at the time when you were teaching, and so Jesus was seated and he was teaching. And then a lawyer stands up to ask a question. This lawyer would have studied the Old Testament law. He would have been an expert in the first five books of the Bible and the law of Moses. And so this is the law that it's referring to, or the type of law that he would have studied. And he stands up to ask a question of Jesus, almost to stump Jesus, which is kind of funny, trying to trick Jesus in about the book that he's written. But anyways, he asks this question of, and Jesus responds, well, what's written in the law? How do you read it? And the lawyer responds with this collection of verses from the Old Testament. He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your strength and with all of your mind and your neighbor as yourself. And really, he's on the right track. I mean, this is the right answer. Jesus responds with, this is the right answer. And if you look into the original Greek, when he uses the word neighbor, there's several different words for neighbor in the Greek. One is a person who lives right next door to you, what's most commonly referred to as a neighbor. But then there's also a second word for neighbor, which is your extended community. And so this lawyer uses the word for extended community. And so he's beginning to grasp kind of this idea of what biblical neighboring looks like. But really to kind of justify himself, to make himself look good, or maybe to put Jesus on the spot, he takes it a little bit further, a little bit deeper, and he asks the question, well, who is my neighbor? Who exactly is my neighbor? And Jesus responds with this story of the Good Samaritan, of the man who was beaten and left by the side of the road, how a priest and a Levite, two people who should have been more than willing to offer assistance passing by, but then a Samaritan man stops and offers him assistance. And the Samaritans were a group of people who were despised and hated by the Jews. They lived separately. They were kind of a mixed race of people of Jewish and Assyrian descent. And really they had combined religious beliefs and experiences. And so they practiced this kind of distorted view of Judaism. And so they were considered unclean. They were to be avoided at all costs. Really, if you were traveling, you had to avoid Samaria. You had to go all the way around. It made the route much further. Or if you were to happen to come across one of them, you were to avoid them. You were not to have them in your home. You were not to have conversations with them. You were not to eat with them. You were not to really participate in any facet of life with a Samaritan, to not even be in their presence. And so Jesus shares this story of how the Good Samaritan, how the Samaritan person, how this hated person, and really the Samaritans would have also have hated the Jews also. It was a mutual hate. It wasn't just the Jews hating the Samaritans. The Samaritans also hated the Jews. And so Jesus reveals this idea of just how far the idea or the definition of neighbor should extend. He radically redefined the definition of what it means to be somebody's neighbor. That it's not just the person that lives next door to you, that it's not just people who are living in community with you, but really, it's everyone. Not just the people right here, but people across the world, people who you don't agree with, people who you don't like, people who hate you, people who maybe you even hate. Those are your neighbors. And those are the people that you're supposed to be in relationship with. So Jesus radically redefined what it looks like to be a neighbor. And so as I've been thinking this week about what does it look like to be a neighbor and what has helped me define my definition of neighbors, I thought of Mr. Rogers. And if you're my age or older, you probably are pretty familiar with Mr. Rogers. His show began in the summer of 1968, and it was a time of racial tension in our country. Really, it was a time in our country where African Americans were being chased out of public swimming pools. And really, just right before Mr. Rogers' show aired, there was this scene of a hotel owner pouring chemicals into a pool to drive this African American family out of a public swimming pool. And it was just this horrific events happening across our nation, really of just this, you know, racial tension. And so how does Mr. Rogers respond? He responds by this episode where he invites the chief of police in the Mr. Rogers neighborhood. It's these two men, and Mr. Rogers is sitting, soaking his feet in this wading pool. And he says, "It's hot outside. Doesn't it feel nice to get our feet wet?" And he enjoys, and he invites the chief of police to sit next to him and to also put his feet in the water. And it's really this kind of silly image of these two grown men sitting there with their feet in a kiddie pool. But it sent a message in the midst of all of this racial tension going across our country of what it looked like to be somebody's neighbor, to invite somebody in, and to show them what love looks like. There wasn't really any political commentary that went along with this show. Mr. Rogers didn't really say anything other than, "Won't you be my neighbor? And I like you just the way that you are." And so this episode helps us to begin to realize what it looks like to be a neighbor. And oftentimes in Christian communities, especially Reformed Christian communities, we talk about the chosen, or our brothers and sisters in Christ, and how that God has a special love for those who he has chosen, or those who he has adopted into his family as sons and daughters, and how those who do not yet believe, although they are loved by God, that it is not the same type of love. And so oftentimes we get into these traps of thinking that maybe we should remain only amongst our Christian brothers and sisters, that we should be in community with them, that somehow our lives might be tainted by the outside world if we interact with it too much, that we need to stay within our comfort. Well, let me tell you that if you are worried about your life being tainted by the world outside of your Christian community, then maybe you need to strengthen your Christian life. Because, you know, I think about making Kool-Aid. So if Kool-Aid is Christianity and the water is the world, that's what it should look like. Is we pour it in and the Kool-Aid transforms the world. The water doesn't transform the Kool-Aid. It looks, it's Kool-Aid at the end. The powder turns into, I made Kool-Aid yesterday, and so I was thinking about but there's lots of ways that you can illustrate that. I mean, that we are to influence the world around us, not the other way around. That we are to be the bright, shining light in the world around us, not the other way around. And so we are called to move and interact with the world around us. That we are called to move outside of our Christian communities and to reach out and touch people, to engage with people. You know, and this is, you know, as simple as engaging with our actual neighbors, or maybe it's engaging with strangers at the grocery store. Maybe it's even beginning to think about how I can be a neighbor to an entire nation across the world that hates me. And so this idea of neighboring oftentimes can be kind of radical. And there's a book that was recently written in the last 5 years, 5 years or so, written by Rosaria Butterfield. It's called "The Gospel Comes with a House Key." Maybe some of you have read it. And I'm just going to read just briefly a couple of statements that she makes about neighboring. She says, radical ordinary hospitality is using your Christian home as a daily means of turning strangers into neighbors and neighbors into family of God. Our neighbors see us for who we really are, struggling with great sins, but dependent on a greater Savior still. Our faith is authentic. His grace is evident in our lives. The gospel permeates our lives and our home. We reach out to invite our neighbors to share in the blessings of grace, in the ordinary and mundane, in times of crisis, in times of plenty and want. Radical, ordinary hospitality is everyday hospitality, placing the needs and concerns of others above our own. It builds relationship and community. It is giving and receiving. And so this idea of neighboring is something that needs to be built into our everyday life. That in everything that we do, it's not always about, you know, doing profound acts for our neighbors, but really just the simple things, loving them well. And really, as we go through life, I think most of us have had opportunities where we've experienced somebody who has loved us in maybe an unexpected or a surprising way. And Mr. Rogers was very fond of, he would ask people to take a moment and think of someone special in their lives that's helped them to get to where they were today. And so we're going to do that right now. We're going to take just a moment, and I want you to think about somebody in your life who has loved you in an unexpected and surprising way. Take just a moment. Now I want you to transition a little bit and think about maybe a person who's difficult to love. So take a minute to do that. It's, you know, sometimes we don't like to admit at times that people are difficult to love. That somehow it makes us maybe not as good of a Christian, or it makes us feel guilty. But really, there's oftentimes those people in our lives who are difficult to love, that maybe rub us the wrong way, or they just, for whatever reason, people oftentimes are difficult to love. As I was thinking through this, and I was thinking through some of the people throughout my life who have been difficult to love. And then I thought, well, how would Jesus respond to this person? And that's, you know, that's one of those questions, you know, what would Jesus do? It's one of those kind of corny Christian questions that we like to ask ourselves. But really, there's so much truth behind those questions oftentimes that how would Jesus respond to these people that are difficult to love? What would he do? And so as you're thinking through this, maybe begin thinking about one practical way that you could demonstrate good neighboring to this person who's difficult to love. You know, really, I've said this, and I'll continue to say this, that our neighbors include everyone, not just the people who live next door, not just the people in our community, not just the people in our country, but really people that we don't agree with, people whose lifestyles don't agree with our biblical views, people who live across the world, who practice different religions, people who hate us simply because of who we are and what we represent. Those are our neighbors. Everyone. You know, in no way do I want this message to be political. But really, there's a lot of things happening in our world right now and in our country right now that as we look at the news and the world around us and at how people are treating one another. And we ask this question of, what's going on? You know, like, really, you know, in our day and age, there's still so much racial tension. There's still so much anger towards one another. There's still so much about making it about us. And so there's all this controversial topics that oftentimes we as Christians don't like to address, at least not publicly. And we don't need to get into what all of those are today. You know what I'm talking about. And so the question is how do we as conservative, evangelical, reformed Christians respond to the things that are happening in the world around us? The things that are challenging us. When we see people in our world who are being mistreated, when political systems are not really matching up with what we believe the Bible tells us to do, how do we respond? And I think the answer is relatively simple. We respond like Mr. Rogers. We pull out our kiddie pools or similar things. How do we make statements in our lives, in our daily, ordinary, everyday lives, that proclaims what we believe about the truth of Scripture? If we believe that the Bible tells us that we are to love our neighbors, how are we demonstrating that? And then we also, and more importantly, need to model our lives after following Jesus. You know, and Jesus was not shy about breaking through social norms, political boundaries, religious stigma. Jesus did whatever it took to advance his kingdom. He loved people in such a way that their lives were transformed. He loved people in such a way that there was absolutely no question about what his mission and his purpose was here on planet Earth. He loved people in a deep, intimate, and sacrificial way. And we have been called to do likewise. And really, that's what Jesus' last statement was to the lawyer, was to go and do likewise. That's what we are commanded to do also. And so as you leave from here today, from moving forward, this is the question that I'll leave you with. How does your ordinary, everyday life seek to build intimate relationships in radical ways in order that others can fully understand the inexplicable love of Christ? Intimate, radical, inexplicable, ordinary. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have given us such a striking example of what it looks like to be a good neighbor, that you've given us the story of the Good Samaritan, that even at times, deep down, we may not like what it calls us to do. We thank you for making the imagery so easy for us to understand, that we are to love everyone, even those that we don't always like or agree with. And Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us to be better at it, that you would help us to be better neighbors. And we pray these things in your Son's holy name. Amen.